So what is a faith barrier? A faith barrier is an attitude or combination of attitudes that short-circuit our faith, thus hindering us or hindering the flow of the power of God in our life, which would keep us from becoming the person God wants us to be or accomplishing the thing God wants us to accomplish. A faith barrier is an attitude or a combination of attitudes that short-circuit our faith, hindering the flow of the power of God in our life, which will keep us from becoming the person God wants us to be or accomplishing the work that God wants us to accomplish. Now, God's call to Moses was very, very clear. It was an awesome call, it was a dramatic call, and it was a challenging call. And he had to respond one of two ways. And he responded in the way that most people would, "Oh Lord, you must have the wrong fella. There's no way in the world I can possibly do this." What I want you to see here, that every time God calls you and me to do anything, he never calls us and just stops at the end of that call. God never calls us without offering with that call a promise. A promise of several things, not always the same, but one thing is always there. That is the promise of the presence of God with us, no matter what he calls us to do. And it is evident here in this call to Moses. And if you look and read in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, whenever God calls his servants to do anything, whoever we are, and I'm not talking about preachers and missionaries and church workers, I'm talking about whatever God calls you to do, whatever he calls you to be, with that call comes the awesome promise of the presence of God himself and the availability of his power to accomplish and achieve that. He never makes a call and leaves us to it ourselves. He's not that kind of God. So when I look at this passage and see what is happening here, and here are five excuses that we find Moses offering, are the same five excuses we find today. So we say this is what a faith barrier is. It is an attitude that short circuits our faith, thus hindering us by shutting down the power of God, and therefore we fail to become the person God wants us to be and to do the things that God wants us to do. Now, when we ask ourselves about this barrier and we say, well, now, like what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about attitudes and patterns of thinking that you and I have adopted over the years. Sometimes they're patterns or attitudes that we were given as children. Our parents would say, well, you'll never amount to anything. Or a school teacher would say, your grades are so poor, you might as well just quit because you're just not going to make it. Or sometimes it may be that a person has stood up to give a speech and they were so laughed at early in life. Or the teacher may have said, I think you better find some other occupation than speaking. And oftentimes they are attitudes that were handed to us that we didn't ask for. Oftentimes, patterns of thinking that we developed over a period of time. Maybe negative attitudes, that is, we were programmed to think a certain way. And the way we were programmed to think were very defeating ideas and defeating patterns. And so there are many people who've had to struggle through a great deal of wrong program in their early life to become anything or to achieve anything in life. But no matter how you were programmed, and no matter what somebody said about you and what they told you that you would amount to, or maybe nothing, or never achieve, or never be anything, or they told you you were ugly, or they told you a lot of things about yourself that you've had to live with, things that were damaging to your sense of self-esteem, you remember this. What they think about you and what God thinks about you is not the same. God doesn't make any junky anything. He doesn't make failures. He doesn't make people to fail. God loves us just the way we are. And if he allowed us to be made a certain way, he had something in mind. God doesn't just throw something in the air and a design falls out. God has purpose to design your life and my life a certain way, and that design is the best that he could come up with, and he has something good in mind every single time. So when we look at that and we think about what is it that short circuits these things in our life, what I would like to do is to lay out just these five excuses that Moses gave, because each one of these is like a building block that builds a barrier in my faith that I cannot trust God. I cannot believe him to be what he says and what he promises to do. So let's begin with the first one of those building blocks, and that is the poor self-image. That is an image of oneself that is distorted, that has been damaged in some fashion. That is, those damaged emotions that are a result of somebody else's criticism, somebody else's opinion. And oftentimes this begins to happen very early in a child's life when their parents make statements, well, if you were like your brother, if you were like your sister, or if you were like so-and-so, or I don't know why you had to be born this way, or we didn't want you in the first place. I wish you'd get out and get yourself a job. You just cause us more trouble. You're a pain to this family. I'm here to tell you, you write upon the tablet of that child's heart, defeat, 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 because what that child hears is, I'm not wanted. And if I'm not wanted, I must not be worthy. And if I'm not worthy, then I'm no good. Who am I anyway? And so what I want you to notice here is this. In the very beginning of this passage, I want you to look, if you will, in verse 10. Because when God said to Moses, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. What is the first thing Moses said? Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Now, why do you think he said that? Because Moses was dealing with his own self-image. And what was that? Well, first of all, he was being called to go to the mightiest ruler in all the earth. And he was called to go realizing that he was a Hebrew slave. That's what he had been. He grew up as a slave. He was a slave in Egypt. And so, even though he'd been on the backside of the desert in a way, he was a Hebrew slave. The second thing he had to think about was this, that he tried to help the Hebrews 40 years before, and he had to leave because of something he did. So why would he expect them to listen to him now? They didn't listen to him 40 years ago. A third thing that damaged his own sense of self-image was this. When he left Egypt the last time, he left a murderer and a rebel. And therefore, he could not see himself going back and walking into Pharaoh's palace with his 40-year reputation of being a murderer and a rebel and thinking that Pharaoh was going to listen to him. And the fourth thing he had to deal with in his own self-image was the fact that he was a shepherd over in Midian, and the Egyptians hated shepherds. And besides that, what was Midian? Midian was of no consequence, not important to Egypt. And so when he looked at himself and he listened to the call of God, everything in him rose up to say, well, I can't do that. And what he was saying was, who am I? Look at me. And when he asked God this question and when he said, who am I? He already had the answer. Moses' answer to his own question was, I am a nobody. I am a Midianite shepherd, run out of Egypt, a Hebrew slave, and certainly I am not welcome back in that nation from which I had to escape for my life. So if he looked at himself, he'd have good reason to say, well, who am I? You've got the wrong person. There are a lot of other people you could send down there besides me. Certainly not me. Isn't it amazing how God makes choices that to us seem very foolish? If you look at the 12 disciples that Jesus chose, most of us would not have chosen them. But you see, that's the difference between omniscience and our frail wisdom. God chooses the most unlikely persons to do oftentimes the greatest work. If you wait until you think that you're absolutely adequate and that you're a person worthy of doing what God wants you to do, more than likely, you'll go through life missing God's best, missing His design, His purpose, and His plan for your life.